we're going to do is get ourselves underway here in Romans chapter 8. And if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses in a short amount of time, but these verses are going to be ones that will equip us to help us to come to understand how we are to look at the mind, the carnal mind against the spiritual mind. Now, I know many would say, well, I understand that. I understand the carnal mind is thinking like this world, and the spiritual mind is thinking like God. But it's a little bit more to it when you're looking at the aspects of it, because how do you get that carnal mind? I mean, that spiritual mind. We know how to get the carnal mind, but how do we maintain? How do we have that zeal? How do we become, like we're going to look at what Paul says about having all readiness of mind and being or willing mind or fevered mind and things of that nature. And these are things that we see, and Paul is teaching us right at the outset of Romans chapter 8. This is what we've been looking at, and this is what we've been going over. And what we looked over last week, we looked at some things about the law. We looked at the law of God and what that meant, and the issue of knowing that the law of God is grace. It's doing things out of agape love. And we saw certain verses when Paul talked about how you fulfill the law of Christ. Like, for instance, Galatians 6:2, we said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you're doing that because of agape love. You're operating upon agape love. And you're doing that based upon what you've been taught. And you're doing it according to the commands that we're giving. And we are giving commands. We're giving a way of walking as a saint in Christ. And this is what this is talking about, and this is what we've looked at. And another one over in Romans 13:10, Paul said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And we fulfill that law by walking the way God would have us to walk one toward another. We bring forth fruit unto righteousness. We show what God is teaching us as being right, as being righteous. And then even in Romans 3:8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. Excuse me. And that's the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life. And these are things that we looked at earlier when we were looking at the law and things. So again, let's turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, and let's come to verse 5. Paul says, for they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, when you're looking right at the outset here in verse 5, you see Paul says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, again, I covered that at the outset there, that when you're looking at, Paul's going to say after, then he's going to say in the flesh and in the spirit. Because again, when you're going after something, you're following after it. You have a desire to be driven by it. But when you're in it, you're actually making it a law. You're actually making it your way of living. You're making it the way you do things. And Paul's going to show us it's a gradual progression here. It's not just he's using a in here or after here, just a different choice of words. This is because when he's teaching this, he's teaching us in a progressive way. And now, he's going to say, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you notice how many times he used the word mind, and then he uses the word carnally minded, and he tells you that's death. That's not physical death. That's not spiritual death. That's functional death. And then he says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because that's what it produces, eternal life. And what I mean by eternal life, it everlasting life. It brings forth what it brings forth. It brings forth functional life and peace, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And we're going to look at about the issues of the mind. And we're going to look at the differences of a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. And we're going to look at the verses that's given unto us. And notice it says, for it is not subject to the law of God. And again, this is not the law of Moses. This is the law of grace. This is the way God would have you to walk according to agape love. This is how you fulfill the law. And notice in verse 8 here, he says, so then they that are in the flesh, notice, in the flesh now, cannot please God. These are not people that are after the flesh. These are people that are, well, we know the ones that are after the flesh cannot please God either. But the ones that are in the flesh are ones that are going to try to attempt to please God. This is why Paul comes along and tell you that they cannot please God, even though they think they might. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But what we're saying here, Paul is saying that if you are going after God's, not only going after God's word, but you are in God's word, in the Spirit, if you allow that Spirit of God to work effectually within you, that's God's word. If you allow that God's word to work effectually within you, then you are in the Spirit. But if you're not in the Spirit and you are in the carnal, in the outward man, and you are in the flesh, then like the next part B says here, it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And you could be justified but not have the Spirit of Christ. You could not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You could be walking carnally minded. You could be functionally dead, bringing forth fruit unto death, even though you could be justified. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. And you notice when we looked at Romans 6 and 7, Paul was telling us about how our bodies are dead. We are dead to sin, but alive unto God. That was the reality. That was the foundational doctrine. At this point here, you should know that if you are in Christ, and Christ is in you because you are in the Spirit, not just falling after it, the body is going to be dead because of sin. Because, and the next, let me just finish the next verse, rest of the verse here, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's going to be declared righteous that God's word is going to work for you. It's going to do what it intends to do. God's word, the Spirit of God, is going to be declared righteous in its sayings. Because what it's going to say is that it's going to actually produce your body to become dead. And this is what's going to happen. And when you're noticing this, we have to understand we have to be the ones to put this into action. And I'm going to finish the next verse, and I'm going to amplify on that. Let's look at verse 11 here. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Well, let me go back. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, when you're dealing with verses 9, 10, and 11, 9, 10, and 11, it tells you how sin gets dealt with in your mortal body. And I'm going to say that again. When you're looking at verses 9, 10, 11, that tells you how sin gets dealt with in your mortal body. Yeah, that's what it's talking about the flesh and about the body being dead and dwelling in you and quickening your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this is all done by His Word and your willingness to want to have the Spirit of God dwell in you. And the indwelling of the Spirit in you, His Word dwelling within you, and I'm not talking about once you became justified and things of that nature. I'm talking about when it talks about the Spirit of God, capital S Spirit, in your lowercase s spirit, allowing His Word to work effectually within you. Now, earlier, when you look at the verse 5 that we looked at, that's talking about the mind. That's talking about God's Word going to work in your mind. And when it goes to work in your mind, it produces something in your members. I mean, it ought to. And we have to understand the separation of the mind and of the heart. Because the mind and the heart, we have to understand, should not have anything to do with what our body wants. We don't have to cater to what our body wants. We shouldn't have to be given onto our body. Those are two different separate entities, and that's the way we ought to look upon it. We ought to look at our mind and our heart as being something that should not be affected by our body, because our mind tells our body what to do. And then once we have that thinking that our mind controls the body and our flesh, that's how we can come to understand the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Because oftentimes what we do is we allow our flesh and our soul to say, hey, I want that, or hey, why not that? Or we look upon something, or we say something. But we're told to yield our members, but now we're told how it's to be done. It's to be done with the spiritual mind. It's to be done, and we're going to see about how we're supposed to obey from the heart. And see, how we yield our members, which our members could be our hands, our feet to take us places, our eyes to see things, our tongue to say things, all of our members can be controlled and should be controlled by our mind, our spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. And these are things we are taught that once you get the proper thinking in your mind, what happens is it starts to affect your heart. Your heart starts to become affected by it. It starts to become affected by it because it tends to now, long after the things, it tends to, that's where the love resonates at. Your mind brings in the doctrine, and your heart begins to produce what the law of God is all about, the fulfilling of the law of God. Because we can know the doctrine. We can have the doctrine fully settled in our minds. We can know it. But to be after that, that's being after it. But to be in the doctrine, to be in the Spirit, is when you allow the Spirit of God to be actually in you. You in the Spirit, and the Spirit in you. In other words, the Word of God in you, and you in the Word of God. And that's the way it ought to, that's the way it ought to be produced. So let's get ourselves on the way here, and let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at some of the issues here about the mind. Romans chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now the first thing here, verse 1, you see Paul says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. And that's all God's goodness from chapter 1 all the way up into chapter 12 here. We see how God, through his love, shed forth all the mercies unto us, through sending his son to die for us and to redeem us from our sin, mercies and goodness. And the love that is showed unto us. And Paul says that this is what we're supposed to take and our motivation, that we should also present our bodies a living sacrifice. And when you see, at this point here, you would be able to present your body a living sacrifice. You couldn't do that back in Romans chapter 6. You couldn't do that back in Romans chapter 7 or 8. Because now, not only are you taught to yield your members and obey from the heart and not walk according to this world, Paul is telling you now you should be able to do this. You should be in the Spirit. You should be ones that are able to know, not only just know what's wholly acceptable unto God, but you should be ones that it should be part of something you're following, a law. Like Paul says, he follows a law in his mind, the law of God. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a renewing process. It's something that we have to renew ourselves with the Spirit of God. And when we're renewing ourselves, that's how we're able to, I mean, we're renewing our mind, that's how we're able to prove. Because at that time that you get to this point here, you're able to judge. You're able to judge people today. They think that they're bringing forth fruit and what's acceptable and perfect unto God. But they're not doing it according to the will of God. They're doing it according to what they've been told. They're doing it according to what they've heard people say. They're doing it according to what they think. And what they when they think according to the way they want to think, or the way their pastor think, or the way this world thinks, what they're doing is they're doing what the next verse says. Paul says, For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You notice how many times he says three times here about how to think and how not to think. Because high-mindedness will have you to be, can cause ignorance. And see, arrogance will cause you to be high-minded. High-mindedness causes arrogance. And arrogance breeds ignorance. But that's the way it always had been. And we know ourselves with dealing with ones who think not soberly. And this doesn't mean soberly in a sense of not being drunk, but it means to have yourself where you're able to have a mind that is thinking the way God would have you to think. That means being filled with the excess of God's word. Now let's come down to verse 16. Romans 12, while we're here, let's come down to verse 16. And be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, you know, this is not what most of the church world preaches today. This type of teaching, what we just read in this verse here, is one of the reasons why a lot of people think contrary to God's word. And you see, he says, be of the same mind. Well, we see they're doing that, even though they're calling themselves different things. They're not too far from believing the same thing. But we're taught to mind things according to the will of God, according to the law of God, to the Spirit of God, to His will. Mind not high things. Oh, they'll tell you that you should mind high things, but consent to men of low estate. They'll tell you, wait a minute, you're number one. They teach you about self-esteem, about exalting yourself over others. And they teach you this because the pastor exalts himself over others. The pope exalts himself over others. The priests exalt themselves over others. So it's easy to see that the people in the congregations would do the same thing. But when they do that, they're wise in their own conceit. And they're not in the Spirit of God. They're in their flesh and in their own conceits, in their own wisdom. Let's come over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And let's look at verse 5 here. Romans 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now when it says, I'm going to stop there. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded and one toward another according to Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here, he's saying God, he's asking you to be the way God is. He's calling God the God of patience and consolation. He's asking you to be like-minded toward another according to Jesus Christ, according to his mind. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. He's telling you to have the mind of Christ and use Christ as an example to glorify God the Father with our mind and our mouth. And how we do that? Falling after the Spirit, having a spiritual mind. Not being carnal-minded, like we just saw in the prior verse, and we're going to see here, or we're going to see in the next verse we look at. But we're taught how to keep and treat one another and teach one another. Because if we're glorifying God with the mind and the mouth, we're not just doing like you see people today saying, have a blessed day, or doing certain things to think that that is glorifying God, giving God praise, honor, and glory. You're not giving God praise, honor, and glory if you're doing it the way this world tells you to do it. You have to go by what the words on the pages of the Bible tell you to do it which is the Spirit of God. That's how we're taught to glorify him, by his word. Now let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at how there can be a carnal mind in a church amongst the people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now one would look at this and say, now is that too much to ask? But that's what we see today. There are divisions among everyone. They're not saying the same thing. They're not perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. But that's how God would have us to be. If Christ was to come back today, you'd have to ask, well, what church would he go to? Or would he say, oh, look at all these people. Look at all these different churches. All these people are so godly. That wouldn't be the case. He'd look at it as being enmity against him. He'd look at it as being ones, people that are minding earthly things, people that are not walking according to the same rule, not minding the same thing, not in the same judgment. Now let's come over to 1 Corinthians, while we're in 1 Corinthians, come over to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now you see the natural man is today's man that we see, that's your average person walking around. They're natural. They are thinking with a carnal mind. They are following this world system. They're following the loves, the achievements, the goals, the actual pursuits, everything that this world follows after. That's what the natural man follows after. And that's what he receives. And the spiritual person and what we talk about is foolishness unto him. He'll think what we're doing right now is a waste of time. He couldn't figure out, why would you be wasting your time doing this? Don't you know the NBA playoffs are on? Don't you know that the primetime TV, the reality shows is going on? Don't you know what's going on right now outside? It's nice out. You guys are fools. But that's because these people cannot receive the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto them. They can't know it because they're thinking with a carnal mind. But see, when you have a spiritual mind, you're taught you can judge all things. Not only do you know it, but at this point you're able to judge it. You're able to judge, you're able to prove it. You're able to prove what is the mind of the Lord, what is the mind of Christ. And we're instructed in this manner. And you're instructed from a milk-to-meat progression and how you can understand the Scriptures. And even if you understand your word rightly divided, even if you're not caught out in the world as far as the denominations and things of that nature, you still have to understand there's a specific way, and we're taught to be educated. We're taught to be educated from a milk to meat. And just like when you're dealing with mathematics, you don't start right out with geometry in the second grade. You don't take, because you think you've passed pre-algebra, and say, will take me straight to trigonometry, there's a progression. You're not going to be able to discern that. You're not going to be able to understand what's going on in the next teaching that we're being taught here, we're being instructed in. Once you understand Romans 3 through 5, your justification, you can't just jump straight into the book of Philippians. Well, you can, but you're not going to fully understand what's going on. You're going to be weighing over your head, especially when you get to the pastoral epistles. Let's come to, while we're in second, let's come to, looking at the time here, let's come to 2 Corinthians here. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, and this, and we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not of ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, Paul says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul is saying he has the ministry here, but he's looking at the mercies that he's received. When he looks at the ministry, he looks at the goodness of God, what has been given unto him. This causes him to faint not. I mean, he could faint, and I don't mean faint just pass out. You faint, you just give out, you just give up. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And we know many do that today. They don't think they handle God's word deceitfully or do it by craftiness. But they do because they're doing it according to the way they've been taught in seminaries. They do it because of the way their pastor taught them, because of the way it was handed down to them. What they were taught, their mom and daddy went to that church. Their mom and daddy wanted them to be a pastor or whatever the reasons why that they are teaching or that they are walking in the way that they're walking in, supposedly according to God. But what they're doing is notice it says they're handling the word of God. These people are actually studying. They're actually in God's word. They're actually they're in it, but they're doing it deceitfully. And you see, Paul says, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And these are lost people handling God's word. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And notice the God of this world, that's not talking about the God in heaven, our Father. It's talking about Satan. This is, hath blinded the minds of them. And this is something he already did. It's not something that he's actively engaged in doing, but the course that he charted 2,000 years ago and beyond has man following through a system of things. Man's wisdom is reigning supreme within him, causing him to be wise in his own conceits. It's causing him to be one that is high-minded, one that is after his own ways, in this world's ways. And in that sense, his mind is blind, whether he know it or not. And what takes place is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is not going to shine upon them. And Paul says, for we preach not of ourselves, but they do. You can't go to a church, past a church today without seeing the preacher's name and his wife on the church building or on a billboard sign anywhere or even in the parking space. These people, they give testimony. They'll spend 20 minutes to 30 minutes talking about themselves, testimony, telling you how many people attend their church, telling you what they've given or how much they've gotten, and things of that nature. And Paul says, we preach not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And Paul is saying, Paul's not exalting himself over these saints. Paul is saying he's there to serve them. There's not a pastor today will tell you that he's there to serve you. He'll tell you you're there to serve him. Even though he don't put it in that manner, but that's why he'll give everybody a little job, a little something to do, even if they're just ones that open the door for people to come to the church. They have a purpose in serving that pastor. And some will say, well, there's nothing wrong with serving the church. Well, no, it's not. But when you're serving based upon the will, the way, the doctrine of that church, that's where it comes into practice. That's where it's being put, the word of God and love, agape love, is being put on display by you. And you're able to prove and discern and judge things the way God would have you to judge things. Now Second Corinthians here. Let's come over to chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, he might well bear with him. Paul is saying here that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And he's saying there was a craftiness used. There was a way, a deceitful way. Adam and Eve was deceived. And he says, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And one would think when Paul wrote this and delivered it onto them, the saints at that time that took their doctrine, they would think, how can someone's mind be corrupted if it's so simple? Well, all they have to do is just look back earlier when he wrote to them in the first epistle. There were divisions among them, and Paul was amongst them. Paul gave them the doctrine firsthand, and they were corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. But this is how that's going to happen here. For he that cometh, and there's one that's going to come. And this is something that's going to be done until this dispensation of grace closes. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Now we know in Revelation, when the tribulation time comes, there's going to be ones coming preaching another Jesus, but they're going to be preaching a physical one, one that's going to be coming that is going to be in their midst, the Antichrist. This preaching of Jesus is one that's going to be done and talking about in a justification way, in a sanctification way, in an exaltation way. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. And we know what all these things tie to. You have people telling you today that, well, you're not justified unless you get the catch the Holy Ghost, unless you get the indwelling of the Spirit. They'll tell you that, okay, you came and you walked the aisle. Okay, you invited Jesus into your heart. Okay, you said the sinner prayer. Okay, you got baptized, but have you spoken tongues? And this is what people teach. They teach another gospel. And this is something that you're not to accept. You should not accept this. But if you do accept something like this, you're not instructed in Christ. You don't have the mind of Christ. So Paul says, you might well bear with them. Of course, he wouldn't want you to. But these people, they are led by Satan today. They're following after him. They're led by him. And they've passed off darkness for light. And that's why he's going to say later on about Satan's ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. And Satan's transformed into an angel of light. It's that deception, that craftiness, deceitfulness. Well, let's come to the book of Galatians. Let's come to the book of Galatians, and let's look at chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be." What Paul is saying here, there's someone coming in, just like we just saw, preaching something contrary. They're preaching something contrary. They're preaching the word of God, like we saw once earlier. They're using God's word. They're preaching another Jesus. They're asking you to receive another spirit, another gospel. But what they're doing is they're hindering you. Well, if you accept it. And what he's saying is that if you do that, you will be what's called otherwise minded. It can cause trouble. Now, the only minds that we saw earlier is the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And when you're looking at the carnal mind and spiritual mind, we know that the otherwise minded, it couldn't be the spiritual mind. It would have to be the carnal mind. These are people walking in a carnal manner. But Paul uses the word otherwise minded, because in Galatians, they should know, that that's why he says over in Galatians chapter 3, ye have begun in the spirit, now you've been made perfect by the flesh. And here he's using the contrast of spirit versus flesh in their sanctification. He called them foolish. Let's go over here. Let's come over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple more verses, and we're going to close out here. Pick things back up on the mind, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind next week. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." And we've been quickened. That word quickened, that means you not only you made alive, you're made functionally, you're made alive for use for usage. And that's why it's quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And see, that's how people walk today. That doesn't mean that that's the way it was then. But today, people today walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. And notice it's a small s, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And some people will look at that and think that there's a spirit, that there's a spirit of disobedience. But that's talking about the way, the will. That's talking about this world's way, this world's way of doing things. And it works in your spirit. That's what it's talking about. When it uses Satan as the prince of the power of the air, because that's what's going on here. It's the course of this world. It's the actual way. It's the will. It's the driving force of how man deals with how man does things. It's after Satan's own likeness. Satan himself lifted up in pride. So is man today. High-minded, boastful, wise in his own conceits. His wisdom is foolishness with God, and God's wisdom is foolishness unto him. He has a carnal mind. That's Satan was a proud and full of wisdom, and this is what works today. And he talks about here in verse 3, among we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And see, like I said at the outset, there we have to have a spiritual mind and a spiritual heart. We have to have a heart that is after God's own heart, like David. We have to know that our heart and our mind is able to drive our members, our flesh. We have to understand there's a separation there. That we don't have to do what our hands and our eyes and our mouth wants us to do. We don't have to go where our feet wants to take us. Excuse me. We don't have to do like we see here in verse 3, that it says what we used to do, we used to walk, we were in the lust of our flesh. We were in our flesh, not just after it. We were in our flesh, and we were fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, because our mind is the one that said, well, actually the flesh also. The flesh wanted it. Our mind said, hey, okay, let's do it. And this is contrary. This is how the children of wrath walk. And when you're dealing with, and you notice how many times, you notice it says lust of the flesh. It says desires of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh are going to be dealt with by what your soul wants, what your soul and your flesh wants, your body wants, the desire, and what your mind wants. The desires deals with what your heart is longing after. You begin to love and long after it. It becomes affectionate unto you. But we're taught, in order to have that spiritual mind, we're supposed to fulfill that law of God. And we fulfill that law of God by having our minds in a carnal state and our heart longing after and lusting after the things of God, the things of the Spirit, the law of God. And this is how we're taught to operate today, Now we're going to do one more verse here. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to close things out. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 13 here. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, when you see this, this is pretty much summed up here what we've been saying, what we've been going after, what we've been talking about. And Paul says in verse 13, he says, there's going to come a time, there's going to be a milk-to-meat progression here. He says, till we come into the unity of the faith. He's not going to say that you're going to have the whole knowledge of God and become a perfect man overnight. And some would think, I've heard some people when they talk about the adoption of sons and how a sonship doctrine, and say, well, you guys talk about different levels and things like, and when you look on anybody else's site or when they're teaching, they all have, or they have a Bible Institute, they have different levels of teaching. But what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that there is a, that's why he said over in First Corinthians, I could not feed you with meat. You're not able to bear it. You can't handle it right now. And he says here, till we come into the unity of faith, there's a time, that there's going to be a time when you're going to grow. And he's going to say you're going to grow up into him in all things. Verse 13, till we come to the unity of faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure. When you talk about measure, there's a sense of growing, measure of the stature. That's a growth of the fullness of Christ. This is something that we have to learn. Again, a Romans chapter 6 saint can't do the same things that a Romans chapter 8 saint can do fully. He can't be fully utilized by God like a more mature saint can be. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. He wants you to grow up, tossed to and fro, because that's what happens to babes in Christ, carried about with every wind of doctrine. This doctrine is going to be the Word of God. They're not going to be coming with their own, the book of Emmanuel or the book of Jesse or whoever. They're not going to come up with their own book. They're going to come up with the Word of God, and that's what they're going to use with cunning craftiness to deceive you, because how else can they toss you to and fro? How else can they tell you that this is God's word, that this is truth? Follow him. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in what? Love. That's what we've seen earlier about fulfilling the law of God. Agape love. Paul says, may grow up into him in all things, which Christ is the head, even Christ. Which is the head, even Christ. And he talks about the body here and how each joint, each person supplies each other. We all build each other up in love, though. The way it works is we edify each other in love. But we all understand we are no better than each other. We are to value and esteem others over ourselves. And again, this is not the doctrine that is taught in church today. They teach you that you're number one, that you're supposed to exalt yourselves over others. And we're taught, we're supposed to, this is how we make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? Love. Now notice what's contrary. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Because they walk, when it says vanity of your mind, that means you're doing it in vain. You're doing it. You think you're progressing. You think you're working. You think you're working for the Lord and giving honor and praise and glory unto him. But it's in vain. And it starts in the battleground of your mind. And they're on the wrong battlefield. They're teaching, speaking, and preaching with a carnal mind based upon their own doctrine, their pastor's doctrine, this world's doctrine. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, as I said earlier, arrogance breeds ignorance. And again, it says, through the ignorance that is in them. That's why their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart is blinded towards their, we said earlier, their minds is blinded, and we see now their heart is blinded. Not only is it just hardened, it's blinded. And the reason why is because they have a vain way of thinking. They're going after they have a carnal mind. Now I'm going to stop here. And again, we've been looking at the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And next week we're going to pick things up in Philippians, and we're going to look at other things. And we're going to go to the four Gospels, and we're going to look at what the Lord said about with all thy heart, and soul and mind and strength to walk after. We'll get to that. I don't want to let the cat out the bag too soon here. But we're going to look at some things about the carnal mind and about how that affects the soul and the spirit and things of that nature. And the spiritual mind, how that affects your soul and your spirit and your heart and things of that nature. But with that, again, we're going to close. We're running a little bit over time here. I'm going to close, and I'm going to open things up for Q&A session. If you have any questions, any comments, please feel free. Please feel free to press *61. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, next week we're going to continue looking at the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And then we're going to look at the idea of we're going to see the Lord talk about the strength, having that strength, having that will, the wantingness, and we're going to see verses talking about having a fervent mind and having a willing mind and having a ready mind and a forwardness of mind and things of that nature to want to be taught, to want to be educated by him, to want to cry, Abba, Father. So when we get to Romans chapter 8, 14, and we're looking at the adoption of sons, and we're understanding about the mind and about the heart, and about, see, you won't be able to cry out a father if you don't have a heart that is after your father, a heart to want to be able to cry, to long after him, to want to long after his word, to be taught and educated by him, by his spirit in your inner man, to want to allow his word to work effectually within you. Because the only one that can put your spiritual life to death is yourself. You're your own worst enemy. And we can't blame it on this world or say the devil made me do it, because we're the ones that are ambassadors on this earth. We're ones here on this earth who have taken God's word, and we've seen people, they take God's word and they use it deceitfully. They use it in cunning craftiness. They preach his word and speak his word, but they do it not according to the way he would have them to do it. They mind earthly things. That's another verse we're going to look at next week. Mind and earthly things you can understand word, God's word rightly divided. You can be justified. But you can also mind earthly things if you're still doing the things the way this world does things. And that would be earthly things. Minding, that's what you'd be minding. Carnally minded. Again, star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And again, if you missed the study last week or any prior weeks, you can always go to onelordonefaithonebaptism.net, and you can go to the weekly Bible phone, the weekly phone study line and study section, and you'll find the studies from the prior weeks in that section. So any study that you've missed, you can go back and you can access that at onelordonefaithonebaptism.net. We'll go to a caller here, 3366. You're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, my friend?
Oh, just about to hear your voice there. How you doing?
Pretty good. Getting over a cold, that's all.
Yeah, see, I was saying, and you couldn't hear what I was saying. I was saying, excuse you, bless you. Yes, but on the spiritual mind, the carnal minded, in Romans 8, to be spiritual minded is death, and to be spiritual minded is life and peace. But carnal minded, death, is that physical death or spiritual death?
That's talking about a functional death. That's talking about to be carnally minded is death, and that's talking about a functional death. That means that you can be justified, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not bringing forth fruit unto God. God cannot use you. You're like some people say, you're dead. Yeah, some people say you're dead to me. Well, God can't fully utilize you. Yeah, you're His. You're an heir of God. You belong to Him. You're going to be justified.
Uh-huh.
But you're walking according to the course of this world. Satan is using you.
That's what I thought it was. That's what I thought. Although you'll be saved 20, 25 years, and you will still be carnal-minded by fulfilling the lust of the flesh.
That's right. You can still walk
in your flesh.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brother, in mercy that you be conformed out to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans chapter 12, that's the prayer up with that. We have to renew our minds.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Renew our minds.
Yeah.
So we won't be carnal minded and feel the lust of the flesh walking in our carnal minded.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bays, what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians, because they were calling Christians their Bays, and he was trying to, you know, tell them in Galatians, who be with you, you know. And
mm-hmm.
they were saved, but they was carnal minded.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like a babe, you have to, you know, train a babe and stuff. You know, just commenting on that. I was knowing I'm getting it and stuff. But this was going to comment on that. That's all.
Well, I do appreciate you. And again, I do love your comments and your questions, because they do help bring clarity to some that might even had that same question.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
which I, you know, if I didn't make it clear or clarify the teaching on that, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate your teaching, and I appreciate all your teaching, and thank you, the word of God.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
You
very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, that's how we renew our mind. We renew our mind with the law of God. We renew our mind with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God and the law of God is based upon grace. And that's why it says you're not under the law, but under grace. You're under the law of God. You are to walk after the law of God. And that's walking after God, the Spirit of His Word, based upon what He says, by grace and mercy. toward one another. You judge things based upon grace. And that's what we're going to get to when you look at the adoption of sons. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 on down, you're going to see things are going to be done based upon love and your understanding of your heart and your mind based upon love, agape love, and not worrying about your flesh. That's how Paul was able to do it. That's how Paul was able to say, I'm persuaded, or I'm more than a conqueror. And he would say, I glory in my sufferings. And we could say, well, how could Paul do that? He's getting stoned. He's getting beat. He's getting everywhere he goes. He wants to faint, like he said. He wants to give up. But he glories in his sufferings. And how he can do that is because he's not viewing things with his flesh. He's looking at it through the spirit, the carnal, the spiritual mind, and a renewed heart, a heart after God's will. He's looking at the mercies of God. He's looking at all God's goodness, and that's producing a love within him that resonates from the inside out. That's the law of God. That's how fulfilling the law of God, like we've seen in Romans chapter 13. That's how you fulfill the law of God, is by love, by knowing what he's done for us, and it's our reasonable service that we ought to do the same thing to others and not think of ourselves, not be high-minded, but put others before ourselves. That's how we walk according to the Spirit, not the carnal world and minding earthly things. Now, with that, I'm going to close. And I want to thank everyone for listening in. And next week, we're going to continue. It's going to be a part B or part two, however you want to say it, about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And we're going to look at how we are to attain that in a proper way, which is following the law of God. And we're going to be getting ourselves underway and finishing up these next verses until we get to the point of we're going to be going into the adoption of sons over in verse 14. But what we're going to do is I'm going to close here,